Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Kuf Chaf Ches Mesechah Shabbos, the 190th daf. We're nearing the big 200. We pick up on the top line of Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Aleph. Our Mishnah on Kuf Chaf Vav Amid Beis, the beginning of Perek Mefanin, had told us that things that were lacking in tithing, in other words, that if there were peros that they had to have Trumos or Maestros, etc., as we will analyze on our daf, that were not taken off, in such a case, then those fruits are going to be Muktza. That's what our Mishnah said, when our Mishnah said, Avolo es hatevel, 8 lines into Perek Mifanim. Our Gemara analyzes that, that when it comes to Tevel, it's going to be Muktza. Now, before we do the Gemara, actually, Tosvos precedes one of those rare cases that Tosvos should be discussed even before the Gemara. Tosvos points out that in truth, the rule of the Mishnah, and for that matter, what the Gemara follows along with throughout our daf, seems to be against another Gemara in Perekiran daf Mem Gimel Amid Aleph. Do we consider Tevel fruit that has not been tithed, that Trumas and Maishas have not been taken off, do we consider that something as Muktza? Our Mishnah is Mefurish, yes. Our Gemara is going to be Mefurish, yes. In fact, maybe we could even see the first word of the Gemara. The Gemara says Pshita, it's Pashut, that it's going to be Muktza. Why? Because you can't do anything with it on Shabbos. If it requires Hafrashas, Trumas and Maishas, that can't be done on Shabbos. Therefore, they're Muktza. Tosis points out that in Perek Kira, the Gemara seems to say the exact opposite. The Gemara says that even though l'chatchila, the fruits are not supposed to be tithed on Shabbos, it's an Issa d'Rabbanan that resembles Makkah b'Patish, nevertheless, since im avar v'tikno, somebody violated the Din d'Rabbanan or wasn't aware of it and did take off Trumas and Maestros, misukon, that it's a valid hafrasha. And therefore, the Gemara says, tevel muchanu etzel Shabbos. Gemara Mem Gimel says that it is considered prepared. Manish against our Gemara. One Gemara says it's muksa. Our Gemara is going to say, that's our Gemara says. And then the Gemara Mem Gimel says it's muchan, it's not muksa. Tosis gives a brilliant answer, where Tosis points out, this is all on the top 3 lines of Tosos, that we're talking about the idea of whether the utensil that's holding the Trumas and Maestros is considered one that is a basis and is a mavutal mehechano. It's no longer could be used for its original purpose because the item inside of it is muksa. For that, we say that since in theory the Trumas and Maestros could be taken off, therefore the halacha is that we view the entire utensil as being possibly mutter and no longer mevutal meyachano. However, points out our Mishnah and Gemara, as Tosis elaborates, no one should get the wrong impression of Mem Gimel Amid Aleph that Tevel is not muktza. It most definitely is. To the point that now we begin the Gemara with the question, Pshita, it's a davar pashut that the Tevel is going to be considered muktza. Answers the Gemara, Lo tzricha betevel tovel midrabanan. We're talking about where there's only an Iser Midrabanan to eat the fruits without tithe. What's an example of that without tithing? Shazaro ba'atzis sheinu nakuv. If you have fruits that were potted, let's say you have, sometimes they grow here in Eretz Yisrael, an esrog tree, in a pot. So then in such a case, if the pot does not have a hole in it, it's atzis sheinu nakuv, it's not considered attached to the ground, and the chiyuv is only Midrabanan. The Gemara continues, Velo Maiser Rishon, our Mishnah had said that if you have Maiser Rishon, Shalom Nitla Termasa, that the Truma had not been taken off. The Gemara asked the same thing, Pshita, it's Pashut. And the Gemara, Lo Tzricha Sheik Dima Bikri, Shenatol Mimenu Maser, Velo Natol Mimenu Truma Gedola. We're talking about a case where it was brought in a basket. Sheik Dima Bikri is an expression used by Chazal, that an individual change the order lichatchila of hafrashas, trumas, and maestros. And here it means that he took off maeser before he took off truma. First, one is supposed to take off truma, and then one is supposed to take off meiser. So now let's follow the bouncing ball. Shenatol mimenu meiser, velo matol mimenu truma gedola. And truma gedola was not taken off. So here, mal desema, I would have thought, says the Gemara, that maybe over here it's not a full-fledged case of muksa. Kida amar le Rav Papa la Abaye, as Rav Papa had taught Abaye. The Gemara on top, bottom of Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Beis had quoted Rav Papa, who had suggested to Abaye that if Meiser was taken off Bidi Avad in front of Truma Gedola, the halacha would be that one would be allowed to eat its fruit, and even though Truma was not taken off Bidi Avad, it would be acceptable. And of course, Memela, one, since one could eat it, there wouldn't be a problem of Muktza. So the Gemara says, "Mao the same kamalei Rav Papa la Abaye as suggested before, and it's not Muktza." Kamashon kishon la Abaye. Abaye rejected that out of hand. He said, "For the pasuk mikol mat nosechem tarimu in Bamidbar, that there is a chiyuv even b'di'eved, even if Meiser was already taken off and truma was by mistake missed. Nevertheless, it will still be inedible and Muktza." Our Mishnah had said, velo es meiser sheni, that also if one had meiser sheni, where there is a mitzvah on the first, second, and fourth, and fifth years to take up to Yerushalayim and eat it there, and if there's a lot of fruit, so then in such a case it's supposed to be redeemed and the money taken, and then you buy Burger King, Burger's Bar, excuse me. Maybe Burger King one day will have Ashkacha. Burger's Bar in the Old City and eat it over there. Asks the Gemara, Pshita, it's Pashit. If there was no Pidyon and he hasn't brought it up, that it's going to be Muks has no purpose. Says the Gemara, Lo Tzricha de Niftu, Velo Niftu Kil Chasa. No, it was redeemed, but it wasn't redeemed according to Halacha. What's an example of it wasn't redeemed according to Halacha? Meiser shepodu al gabe asimon. It was redeemed on top of a token. Drachman amu mitzarto akesef biyodecha. It needs to be silver. Dover sheish batzura. It requires the form of kesef, which is elaborated on, in detail on b'metzia mem zayin amibayz, that asimon is not considered something that has a tzura, while kesef does. So hegdi shechilo gabi rachman karka de rachman amar v'nasin akesef v'kamlo, and that requirement applies to all things that are being used to redeem items that are attached to the ground. The Mishnah had also told us v'lo es haluf. Also, if you have a type of bean that is not ra'ui for achila, it needs to be, for example, in the case of luf, I believe it needs to be cooked, so therefore it has no purpose. That's also muksa. Says our Gemara, Tan Rabbanan metaltlin es hachatzav mipnei shuhu machal litzvayim, ves hachardal mipnei shuhu machal liyonim. You're allowed to move grass because it is food for a turtle, and you're allowed to move mustard because it is food for doves. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer af mitaltin shivrei zchuchis mipnei shuhu machal lenamiyos. Rav Shimon Gamliel says something striking, and he says even broken pieces of glass are food for young ostriches. I'm not sure what it means that they would eat pieces of shivrei zchuchis, broken glass. If any of our friends or Talmidim that are listening know what this means in the Gemara, I looked around and I didn't see any explanation for it. Either way, that's what their food was. Mipnei shu machal and amio, since it is these children of ostriches, that's how Rashi describes it, dibra maschal namios, eat them, therefore it's not going to be muktza. Now, Rabbi Nosson challenges. Omer le Rabbi Nosson, ele miata, chavile zmaros yitaltlanu, mipnei shu machal apilim. Why is it that when it comes to vines, that since they're eaten by elephants, that should be enough for everybody to be metalta? I saw quoted in the name of the Meiri that the subject of our sugya is that once an animal could eat it, then it becomes mutu tilta for everybody. So, We need to answer. Elephants also eat it. Reb Shimgam, so the Gemara explains. Reb Shimgam Leo will respond, Ni'imios shchichi, pilin lo shchichi. When it comes to these ostriches, that's normal for them to eat it. These, again, whatever that means, shivrei schuchos, so then the halacha is it's going to be not muksa. However, the zmoros, it's not common for the elephants to eat them. Amar ameimar, v'hu de'isla ni'omios. Ameimar qualifies differently than what we had said previously in the Gemara, especially according to the way we were masbir in the name of the Mi'iri, and that is the only time that's not going to be muksa for you is when you yourself have this type of small ostrich. And then, if you have that type of animal, so then in such a case, it's not going to be muksa for you. For the average person, it's still going to be muksa. Obviously, there's a deep conceptual issue over here in the Gemara, and that is whether muksa is defined by the individual himself, that for him, for one person, it won't be muksa, and for someone else, it will be muksa. Someone who has na'amios, it won't be muksa, someone else it would be. Or do we define it by the general average? Amar Ravashi Amemer, Elda Ka'amar Le Rabbi Nassan L'Shem Gamliel, Chavila Zmiros Yitalto Pnei Shu Machal Pilin, E Isle Pilin Amai Lo. He's challenged, Ravashi's challenged. He says, if you're going to say it's subjective, it's a davar pashut, that someone who has elephants, it would not be considered muksa. The Gemara was asking in general that zmoras in general shouldn't be muksa because it's the food of elephants. The fact that he asked it as a question indicates that we're not talking about an individual who has elephant. That would be a davar pashut. Everybody would agree it's not going to be muksa for him. However, we were talking about a case of where one does not have element. El roi. Hachanami roi. It must be that what we're talking about is whether it's possible. It's possible for the item to be eaten by an animal, even if you don't have the animal, Ela Roy, Hachanami Roy, once it's Roy, even if you don't have that animal, then it's not going to be Mukta. Amar Rabbi Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, Kula Svirulu, Kol Yisrael, B'nei Malachim Heim. All of them hold that we view Klal Yisrael as having a status of princes. And for that reason, the halachos of muksa are going to be changed. This is a beautiful klal kol Yisrael b'nei malachim. We have already encountered this klal in the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. That was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara now outlines the instances that we have it. And that's going to be first the case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that we had in our sugya, that when it came to wealthy people, they would feed their na'amios shivrei kelim. So Reb Shimon Gamliel ha'damaren. Reb Shimon, that's the Mishnah we learned already in the Daf Yomi on Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph. B'nei malachim sachin al gabi maklasein shemen vered. They would use this fancy oil of literally a rose, that they would use to anoint themselves. So, Shekein Derech shall b'nei malachim lasuch b'chol. Reb Shimon Omer, that's what the Tanakhama had said, Kol Yisrael b'nei malachim heim, and since it's normal for malachim, all of Klal Yisrael are considered like malachim, no matter how rich or poor we are. We are the banim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are princes. Something to keep in mind in our self-perception. Upstairs, we are not defined by our bank account. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, the sign. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, in the Brisa, Hareisha, you know Shimbo, Elef Mane, Ulevushit Stala, Bas Kuf Mane, Mavshitin Oso, Umalbishin Oso, Itzdala, Haruuyala. This is a fascinating discussion in the Talmud, and that is what happens if there is an individual, let's translate the Gemara, who borrowed and owes 1,000 mana, that's a lot of money, and he wears this very fancy coat. He wears a coat that's worth 100 mana. So one opinion is that he's got to pay back. Mashitin also, that we take it off him and we give him the appropriate coat and we sell it to pay back the loan. That's the Tanakhama. Tanim Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, V'tanim Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Kol Yisrael Ru'uyin Lo'osa Itzdala. Every Jew is Ra'uy, is worthy of wearing such a chashuv coat. In other words, because of Kol Yisrael B'nei Malachim, keep in mind, of course, Rabbi Akiva's own very humble upbringing. So for that reason, Rabbi Akiva says, you don't take off, even if he's wearing a very expensive coat, because really he's worthy in his potential to actually be wearing that. The Mishnah had told us, Chavile Kash v'chavile Zmoros, that v'chavile Eitzim, excuse me, if we have groups of wood, if they were designated for animal food, then it's not muksa. Tanu Rabban, Chavile Kash v'chavile Eitzim v'chavile Zodim, im eskinam, l'machal behem etatlan osa, v'mav em etatlan osa. That was what we saw in our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Gamliel, this we didn't see in our Mishnah, Omer, Chavilin Hanitol B'yod Achas Mutol Talton. Reb Shimon Gamliel qualifies. He says only those bundles that could be carried with one hand are you able to be Metalton. B'shtei Yadayim Asa L'Talton. But if it's so large that needs to be handled by two hands, so then in such a case, you're not allowed to be metaltal in Shabbos. Rashi explains the Ramaschal Aser Letaltalon because it's considered a tircha. It's not Aser as muksa, but it's Aser mitam tircha according to Rashi. The Gemara continues. Chavile Seya, Ezov, Vikornios, Hichnisan Leitzim, Amistapik Ben B'Shabbos. If you have different types of woods that our Gemara is going to explain later on, says Rashi, then you're not allowed to derive benefit from it on Shabbos if you took it in for the firewood. If you took it in for the firewood, so then you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos, hence it's mukza. However, lemaychal behema mistapik ben Shabbos, if it was used for animal food, then you're allowed to take from it Shabbos, vikotem biyad va'ochel. And you're allowed to cut from these foods with your hand and eat, ubilvad shelo yikdom bekli. However, you're not allowed to cut with a utensil. Umolo v'ochel bovad, and you're allowed to also roll. This melila is a concept found in Beitza on Daf Yugimel Daf Yudalid as well, where you roll out the grain from the chaff. Ubilvad shelo yimlo bekli harbik. As long as you don't use a utensil. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. He's allowed to roll out with his fingers, with the edge of his fingers and eat. With the condition that he doesn't roll out a lot. Like the way he does it during the week. So Rabbi Yehuda allows everything but a utensil, and the Chachamim require an even greater shinui, that it has to be done only b'roshei etzba'osav. Bezer Hashem, in our halacha from the daily daf, we will discuss these halachas of molel melilos, and the implications for halacha l'maisa in Hilchos Shabbos. The Gemara continues, v'chein, quoting from this brisa, v'chein ba'misa, v'chein b'fegum, these are different types of growths, v'chein b'shar mine tvolin, and all other spices, we have a machlokas whether you're allowed to use a utensil or not. Now the Gemara just clarifies what exactly are these things that we have mentioned before. Maya misa, what is that? Nina, that is a type of growth that is called nana. Now nana might very well be like we have nanati. Sia, what is Sia? Amar Rav Yehuda, Tzisri. Rav Yehuda says it is a type of growth that is used for Besamim. Rashi also suggests that it's another type of Tzemach that relates to the Nana as well. Ezov is Avrasa. It's a type of grass. Cornice, Cornisa Shema is called Cornisa. Ask Gemara Vahuda Ka'amalu, Man Boy Cornice. Who wants cornice? V'ishtakach choshi. And it turns out that it was a type of tzemach that's called choshi. So you see, cornice is choshi and not cornisa. So how could you say that cornice is cornisa? I thought it's choshi. So Gemara says, Elasia tzisri, ezav is avrasa, cornice is choshi. These are all botany issues and beyond the scope of my limited knowledge of botany. The extent of my knowledge is cutting the roses on Erev Shabbos. The Gemara continues 10 lines from the bottom. Itmar, Basar Meliach. If you have meat that is salted, Mutal Etaltalo B'Shabbos. You're allowed to be Metaltal it on Shabbos. Now here, it's, excuse me, it's a little bit of a chidush, because we're talking about raw meat. Nevertheless, since the meat has already been salted, and it already has a taste, the chidush here is that since bishas hadichak, that meat could be eaten, then it's considered no longer muktza. Basar meliach mutar l'tadlo b'shabbos. Basar tafel, however, when we're talking about a meat that Rashi explains is not salted, so then in such a case, you've got a problem. Rav Huna mutar l'tadlo, amar mutar l'tadlo. However, the problem emerges from Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda also l'tadlo. Rav Chisda says it's prohibited. Rav Huna amar mutar l'tadlo. Does Rav Huna say it's permissible to be metaltel? Meat that is raw. Now, of course, Rabosai, the shayla over here is that the meat, on the one hand, will become food, can become food. On the other hand, can't be cooked on Shabbos. And it seems like if it's not nachal al yidei hadchak, it should be muktza. So we need to flesh out the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna mutl tal Rav Huna talmid de Rav havit v'Rav kir b'Yehuda svirlei de islei muktza. Doesn't he hold? He's a student of Rav Huna, was a student of Rav, who's a student of Rabbi Yehuda, who held of the chashasha muktza. Says the Gemara b'muktza la'achila savor la kir Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to something that's muktza la'achila, in other words, if you're allowed to eat from it or not, there he follows Rabbi Yehuda. B'muktza l'tiltel savor k'Rabbi Shimon. However, when it comes to Yisr Muktza for tiltel, there he follows Rabbi Shimon. Unfortunately, in the Daf Yomi, we're not able to really flesh out these categories in a deep discussion amongst the Rishonim exactly how we have two categories of muktza. One is L'tiltel, one is L'achila, and Rav Huna Kapaskin like one and not like the other. Unfortunately, in the context of the Daf Yomi, it's something that's hard to develop. Please listen if you're interested. There are fantastic shiurim about this. Not in the same level as the Gedolei Torah, but I did discuss this in the Grus Kolel in Shurim on Hilchos Muktza, and particularly introduction to Hilchos Muktza. That's the opinion of Rav Huna to make a split between Achila and Tiltel. When it comes to Achila, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to Tiltel, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chisda Amar Asa L'Taltel. Rav Chisda says it's prohibited to be metaltel. Rav Yitzchak Barami Ikla Levei Rav Chisda. Rav Yitzchak Barami went to visit the Yeshiva of Chisda. V'chaza Ahu Bar Avza. He saw a chicken that was slaughtered that the people were carrying mishimsha letala. They were carrying it from the sun to the shade. Of course, in the Aramaic, tes and tsadi is sometimes interchangeable. Tsel, that they were carrying it from the sun to the shade. Vamar of chizda, ki chisar and kis, kachazin anacha. This is a chisar and kis. It's a muktza machmas chisar and kis. And something that's muktza machmas chisar and kis, you're not allowed to move, certainly, from the sunlight to the shade. So how could they move it? So shani bar avza dechazi l'umtza. No, the chicken could be used to eat, even without salt, Rashi says. And hence, we need to say that it is different than meat, that meat cannot be eaten if it wasn't salted. However, when it comes to chicken, even when it's not salted, is edible. Gemara continues to be launched from Bam Darna Rabban and Dog Meliach Mutal Taltal. If the fish, even if it's not cooked, is salted, you're allowed to move it. Dog Tafel, if it's unsalted, also Taltal, it's prohibited. Basar Bein Tafel Bein Meluach Mutal Taltal. Visama Kerebi Shimon, we presumably should add, it's read simply, even though the Marshal takes it out. The only way it would make sense is according to Rabbi Shimon, who's not concerned about muktza. The Gemara continues, Tanu Rabbanan metaltel nesatzamos v'pideshu macha l'klavim. One is allowed to move bones because it is edible for dogs. Masar tipuach, rotting meat. Mipneshu macha l'chaya, wild animals will eat from it. Mayim megulim,
The Gemara in Avodah Zarah describes in Yoredeya, it is brought down in about Kuf Tezvav, Kuf Tezayim, one is not allowed to drink because of fear of scorpions adding venom into the water. Mipnei Shein Ruin Lechatul, however, a cat could eat it, therefore it's not considered muktzah. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol Atzamon Osel Hashosan Mipnei Hasakana.
If one has Mayim Megulim, one is not allowed to leave it around. Shehiya. To leave it there, mipnei hasakana, even if your intention is to leave it for the cat that won't be damaged, we're afraid that someone by mistake might come to drink it and put themselves into a sakana. The Mishnah continues four lines from the top. Koifenes ha-salifnei afrochim, you're allowed to turn over a basket in front of chickens. Kedei sheyalu v'yerdu tarnegoles shebarcha. Excuse me, kedei sheyalu v'yerdu, in order that they should be able to go up and down. Tarnagolas shebarcha, if one has a rooster that has escaped, doichin oisa, then one is allowed to nudge it along, says Rashi, with one's hands, atche tikanes, in order that it go inside and return to where it came from. Midadin agolin visayochin, you could take them by their necks and bring them in. Isha midada espina, a woman is allowed to do the same thing with her child who has begun to walk in the Rishus HaRabin, to support him from falling, a child when he's walking. Only if he's moving his legs, putting one leg down and putting the other one down. But to drag him, also, that would be prohibited. Amar Yud Amar Rav. Behema shenafla b'eimas hamayim, begins the Gemara. If there is an animal that fell into a pit, mevi kar muksasos u'miniach tachtea. Im also. You're allowed to put pillows under it and to allow it to be able to step up and walk out. But you're not allowed to drag it out. But if the animal walks out, then that would be totally acceptable. Mesivi asks the Gemara, we have a Tosefta in Perek Tezayin, and a Sugya that we've had already a few times in the Daf Yomi. For example, on Daf Kuf Chav Dalid Amid Aleph, an animal that fell in, Oysen La Parnasa, that expression we had over there, that you're allowed to support the animal in Mekoma, Mishvil Shalel Thomas, in order that shouldn't die. Parnasa in other words, give it Parnasa, give it food, yes. Parnasa, in the words of Chazal, doesn't mean to make a lot of money. Parnasa means to have what one needs to live. Parnasa in karim uksasos, lo. The Parnasa is permissible, but not even blankets and pillows are you allowed to do. Lo kasha, it's not a question. Hada efshar b'parnasa, hada efshar b'parnasa. If the animal could survive just on the food, then that's fine. Sometimes people need pillows and blankets to be able to survive as well. The Efsher B'Parnasa. Efsher B'Parnasa in V'lo Mevi Karim Uksasos U'Miniach Tachteha. If the food is enough, fine. And if not, you bring the blankets underneath. Asks the Gemara V'Amivatel Klima Echano. You're causing the pillows and blankets not to be able to be used. Answers the Gemara Sover Mivatel Klima Echano Dirabbanon. They hold that causing that the kli is not going to be able to use is only Nisr Drabbanan. Tzar Bali Chaim Doraisa. The Isr Tzar Bali Chaim is Min HaTorah. What's the source? HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it beautiful. We're in Erev Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim. Azov Tazovimo. That there is a mitzvah to help somebody when his animal is buckling, even if he's your enemy. And Chazal understand it's not simply about helping him. It's a chiyuv d'oraisa of Tzar Bali Chaim. Tzar Bali Chaim d'oraisa, v'asi d'oraisa. So here you have Tzar Bali Chaim, which is min haTorah, v'dochi d'rabbanan, and it pushes away the iser d'rabbanan. We learned, Tarnagol Shabarcha, if there is a rooster that has escaped, so then in such a case, dochino, so you could nudge it in, achetikanis, until it goes in. Now, the expression, there were two verbs that our Mishnah had used. One was dochin, and the other is medodin. Medodin and dochin are two different things. Dochin is to nudge. Medodin means to direct it by putting one's hands on its neck. So the Gemara is medayik. Dochinin medadin lo tanina lahadatan rabbanim medadin behema chayvof bechatzer. Avalo es hatarnigos. Tarnigom is my time alo. Here is a brisa that supports this idea as well that you can't do medadin with a tarnigos, but why not? Amar Abaye mishum de makfia nafsha. Rashi explains that when it comes to the tarnigoles, the moment that you're going to put your hands on its shoulders, then automatically the tarnigoles will stop walking and you will be doing the entire tiltle. And that is going to be usur. However, when it comes to other animals, there's no problem midodin by putting your hands on the shoulders because in that case, the legs continue walking. Now the Gemara begins quoting two other halachos in regards to medida from two different brises. Tani chada, we learned in one brisa, medadim behem el chayvov bechatzar velo b'rishus harabim, where choshesh for tiltul in a rishus harabim, that's considered as if you carried it, and therefore you cannot edge it along by directing its shoulders. However, when it comes to one's child, we're going to be more mekel. Va'isha medada es b'na, a woman is allowed to be modad b'na, maybe because of the idea of Chai noses atzmo b'rishus harabim vein tzarech lomer b'chatzer. Even certainly in the chatzer, it's going to be permissible. V'tan yidach, we learn in a brisa, ein okrin behema v'chayv b'chatzer. Avol dochem en sheikatzu, you can't pick them up, but you're allowed to nudge them inside. Analyzes the Gemara, the second brisa. Hakasha agufa kasha. There seems to be a contradiction in the second brisa. Amrit ein okrin. On the one hand, you said you can't lift it up. Aval diduye midadninan, but you're allowed to do medida. Hadar amrit dochin in midadin lo. Yet then the next sentence you said that you could do dochin, but you can't do midadin. Amr Abaye, Abaye answered, seifa nason letarnigolos. The seifa is specifically talking about tarnigolos, as we learned above, because the tarnigolos is mekapya nafsha. You may have to be machmir and say you can't be moded. Amar Abaye. Abaye taught us another halacha. Hay man deshachet tarnigolos. Someone, an individual is shechting a rooster. Likvashinu la likare ba'ara. Then in such a case, he should push its legs into the ground, presumably in order that it shouldn't be able to grab hold be able to stand its own position and move or escape. Inami, or else, nidalu medal, or he should pick him up so that the legs won't give the animal its own power. Why? So here the Gemara explains. Didilma manach le tufre be'ara va'akar luhu l'simanim. Because if its legs are not pushed into the ground, the rooster will dig its nails into the ground, and then it will jerk its head, and the simanim will become moved, and that will cause the shechita to be possible once the kone and the veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus, are moved. So then that causes the shechita to become a shechita psula. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the topic of muktza from Perek Mefanin. For that reason, we are going to conclude the daf a little bit early. It's Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and many people are busy. Matzoy Shabbos, Be'ezer Hashem, we will return and try to get in all of Kuf Chavtes as well and conclude Perek Mefanin. And we now, Be'ezer Hashem, go to the halacha section. Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarech, our halacha topic from daf Kuf Chavches is shelling nuts and taking off grapes from a cluster on Shabbos. At first glance, if you ask someone, what does that have to do with Daf Kuf Chaf Ches, they might be hard-pressed to tell you. However, it comes out from a very important topic on Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Aleph that is not well understood at all, and it's not your fault if you don't understand it. Many of the Achronim have a hard time understanding the sugya also, and that is the sugya on the bottom of Kuf Chaf Ches Amid Aleph, where the Gemara tells us the appropriate way to eat melilos. Melilos were grains, parched grains, that used to have food, of course, inside, the grain itself inside of the shaft. And we have the opinion of the Chachamim, which is how we paskin, that the only way that you're allowed to take out the melilos, the grain from its shaft, is if you roll it b'roshei Etzba Osa. Now, that topic leads us to some very important rules about the halachos of dash, threshing on Shabbos. Interestingly, the halachos of molim melilos do not appear in Simin Shin Chaf, which have the halachos of dash, but rather they appear in Simin Shin Yutes, which are the halachos of borer, sif zayim. And here we have the following halacha. Actually, even siv vav and zayin. Ein molulim melilos, you're not allowed to roll out the grain from the chaff. Ela molel b'shinui ma'at b'rosh etzbosav. So that's exactly our daf, kuf chaf ches, as well as the main sugi also appears on beitza daf yud beis, that you have to do a shinui and roll it out with your fingers. Now, the Mishnah Brura in the Shaar HaTzion raises in os yud aleph a profound problem in regards to molel melilos, which will ultimately lead us to many halacha lemaisa shailas in Hilchos Dash. And that is, the Shaar HaTzion points out that there's something quite strange over here. We all know that Dash is one of the 39 malachos. Asks the Shaar HaTzion, and again, we are bringing out what the Shaar HaTzion asks, it's not explicit, but it's clear to me that this is the kavana of the Shaar HaTzion, and this is a big discussion in the Achronim on Beitza on Daf Yud Beis. If Dash is one of the Yisurei D'Oraisa, and taking out a grain from its chaff is in Iser D'Oraisa, in fact, that was the Dash in the Mishkan, why is it when it comes to Molel Melilos, with a Shinui, according to the Chachamim, it would be acceptable? After all, we all know that a Shinui cannot make an Iser D'Oraisa Mutter. It turns it into an Iser D'Rabbanan if it's a real Shinui, but how could it be that the halacha is that it will be Mutter if he's doing it B'Roshe Etzba Osav? The Shaar HaTzion explains that Rashi holds that this Iser is only midrabbanan. This is not the classic dash. The classic dash is when a person takes a utensil, smashes the grain to get out and separate the chaff from the actual grain itself. The grain, of course, is raw, and then one usually mixes it with water and turns it into some type of bread or mazonos. If that's so, over here we're talking about a totally different instance. Here we're talking about a parched grain that was almost eaten as a form of grass, and you took out a little bit of that grass. That only resembles dash. It's not the iser of dash itself. This is Shaar HaTzion points out as the sheet of Rashi. If that's so, if the whole iser of molel melilos, even if you did it in the normal way, was only the iser derabbanan, often then we have a shinui which comes around and is matir the iser d'oraisa. However, according to the Rambam, it does remain difficult because the Rambam whole seems to say that the iser of molel melilos, as the Mishnah Berurah points out in Shaar HaTzion Yud Aleph, in Shin Yud Tes, it would seem that it would be an iser d'oraisa even to be molel melilos. At the end of the day, you're doing the same act of threshing, just with a different mechanic, but it's the same act of threshing, and therefore it should constitute an iser d'oraisa. And if that's so, the question becomes, how is the shinui matir? One of my special rabbeim from the smicha program that all of you are familiar with from YU Torah and from Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, Reb Willig, who I was zoche to learn quite a few things from when I was in Ritz and in the Kol HaElyon, made me aware, and he quotes this in his Sefer in Am Mordechai, that the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Yud Tes, Chav Beis, and Chav Gimel suggests the following Hesber to the approach within the Shitas HaRambam, and he also applies this LaHalacha, that the Isra of Dash is only if you do something on a level of Doraisa in a mass manner. If you are accomplishing a lot of threshing, that was the way that they would do it. Not so much in the process that we have presented within Rashi, however, it's the manner in which that it is done that you're doing a lot at once. Now, if you're using your hand and not doing it with a shinui, it could very well be that you could accomplish a lot at once. However, if you're doing it per rosh etzba osav, it no longer is the iser d'oraisa altogether. And since it's not going to be an iser d'oraisa altogether, then with a shinui, the argument goes that it's going to be mutter. Now, what would come out from this is that any time a person is cutting a lot, then automatically there is going to be a shaila of an iser d'oraisa of dash. It is for that reason that Rabbi Willig Shlita concludes in his Sefer Amordechai that separating, therefore, a large cluster of grapes according to this approach might be a problem. There are other tzadim to be makel. However, at the end of the day, he asks, and he leaves off with a tzarech iyun, that maybe there would be a problem removing clusters of grapes. Let's say you had a large cluster of grapes and you separate both of them. Or, it could be, we have to ask Rav Willig this, if you take off a bunch of grapes at once, it could very well be as well that that is something that's considered large and not ma'at ma'at. And then you have a shayla of a doraisa, because that should also be an iser of dash. It's interesting to note that the Egle Tal explains the Rambam a little bit differently in Simin Chavches in Dash, and it happens to be that his Yisod goes beautifully with the Egle Tal's Yisod in Sif Gimel in the Halachos of Dash, which is a very, very important one, and I think in many ways is Masbir so much confusion in the Malacha and gives us a clear Hagdara of Halacha L'maisa, and we're going to see that Rav Wozner used this Klal LaHalacha as well. And that is, the Igle Tal suggests that the Isser of Dash is specifically those things that are normal to be done, those Malachas are normally to be done in the field. If it's normally done in the house, by definition, it's not going to be considered Dash. For that reason, according to the Rambam, it could very well be that the moment you're doing it, Barashe Etzba'osav, then that's not normal in the field. Then that's already considered something along the lines Babayis. Once it's something along the lines Babayis, so then in such a case, the halacha is that it doesn't constitute an Isser D'oraisa, an Isser D'rabbanan with a Shinui, hence will be able to be matir. Halacha L'maisa for Ashkenazim, it could still be that we are machmir by molel melilos, as the Ramah says. And then the Ramah goes on and buttresses the point that the Egle Tal makes and gives us a very clear definition for the Isser of Dash in practical Halacha L'maisa. And the Ramah goes on and says, and for this reason, if we're going to be machmir, then the green shell, says the Ramah in Shin Yutes Sivvav, that appears around a nut, would be prohibited to move on Shabbos. Now, it turns out many of us city boys are not aware that a shell actually has, most nuts have three shells, actually. Number one is it grows on the tree often with a green shell. Number two, think of a walnut, the hard shell. And number three, often there is a thin membrane around the actual nut itself. Let's talk about the outer two shells. The membrane is really not a problem at all. In regards to that, says the Ramah, it's prohibited to take off the green shell. Asks the Igle Tal, what's the difference between green, brown? Why should it make a difference? The Ramah doesn't explain himself. Explains the Igle Tal beautifully that when it comes to the green shell, that's something that was normally taken off Basada, hence is going to be an Issur D'oraisa of Dash. However, when it comes to the hard shell, so there the hard shell is something that is normally removed Babayis, hence it's going to be mutter. If we go with the Egle Tal's Mahalach and not like the Aruch HaShulchan, we have now solved that any time that the grapes, it would be normal to separate those grapes Babayis, there would be no Shaila at all, and one, yes, Yochlu Anovim V'Yisbo, that there would be no problem for a person to be able to eat from the grapes, and no need to mitigate and say that if it's a large amount, that it's going to be a problem. Based on this Egle Tal, we also have a clear Agdara and many other Shailas of Dash as well. And that is that if it's normal for a person to shell it only in their house and in their dining room and in their kitchen or even in their living room, the halachi is that it's going to be mutter. However, if we're talking about something that it's normal to be done in the factory, it's going to be Usser. If that's so, so then observes Rav Wozner in his Tshuvas, it's clear Rav Wozner went with the Egle Tal. He then observes the following. What would be the halach of shelling nuts? The Ramah said the only problem to shell is the outer green shell that we spoke about before. What about Bismanazeh? No problem. Presumably a pistachio nut? No problem to do dash. However, observes Rav Ozner, what would we say about peanuts? Peanuts today, it's very, very common. Most people, if you're like me, if you're getting on the bus and you're getting on the airplane and you'd like to have a little bit of kosher nuts and you have two to choose from and the shelled nuts are not that much more expensive than the unshelled, which one are you going to choose? The shelled. It's very, very common for people today to eat shelled nuts and for manufacturers to make nuts that are already shelled, and therefore the shelling takes place not only in Syria, but the shelling also takes place in the factories. If that's so, then the peanut, says Rav Ozner, according to Egelei Talz Yisod, we have a kula and a chumra. A kula in the sense that anytime it's normal to do in a house, no problem at all, do it normally. You don't need shinuim, you don't need to cheshbin harbe ma'at, as long as it's normal. But if it's not normal to do it in the house, or it's very common for it to take place in the factory, then it goes back possibly even to a shayla v'daraisa. Therefore, Rav Ozner suggests that shelling peanuts today might very well be in issa daraisa according to the Iglei Tal. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes the halachos of eating grapes and shelling nuts on Shabbos as emerges from the yesod of our sugya of molalin melilos, whether you explain like the Aruch HaShulchan or you explain the Rambam that the Sharetzion pointed out very vividly and very clearly, like closer to the lines of the Egelei Tal. A good Shabbos to everyone.